We're now going to have a question time. As Sam said, we're trying out something new, Pigeonhole, where you were able to submit your questions. You can keep doing that as we go on in our question time, send in some more. And you can keep voting for the questions on there that you particularly want Kev to answer. So we'll see how that goes. Thank you very much. Here are 6 votes, very popular. Was Noah worth saving since he and his family continued to sin post the ark experience? Why didn't God just start from scratch?
Yeah, thank you. He walked with God. So it seems like God picked the person who was walking with him, trusting him in that way. But clearly it didn't work. I don't want to steal the, I'm so hesitant because I don't want to steal the thunder of whoever is speaking in 2 weeks' time, where that will be what we talk about. Is that a different question? Sorry.
Yeah, that's just jumped.
What are you doing, Rami?
Been usurped by... I don't think it's Rami.
You're voting on the answer. You're voting down. You can vote up the questions, vote down the answers, I think. Why didn't God just start from scratch? Yeah, exactly. He's going to have to do that. He's teaching us about the depth of the human problem in this section. And I think it's hard for us to really feel and get the depth of the human problem. I think a lot of us would think if you start again with the best family on the planet, surely all the violence would end and, you know, you certainly wouldn't get back to chaos and sin very quickly. God's trying to teach us just the depth of the human problem and get us reaching to him more. So that's why he's showing us this from these kind of various quite depressing angles.
Thanks very much. And do come back in 2 weeks' time. Ooh, this one has now 11 votes. This is going up and up and up. Okay. Was Noah righteous because God showed him favor, or did God show Noah favor because he was righteous? And what does it mean that he walked with God?
Yes, thank you. So he was righteous by his faith led to his righteousness. So Hebrews 11 that we referred to a couple of weeks ago, you can look this up at the end. Where is it? Hebrews 11 verse 7 says that Noah became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So the righteousness that he had wasn't about something great about Noah. It just meant that he had faith. So God's showing favor to the person who has faith in him, not the person who's, you know, I'm so great, you should have favor on me. Because his righteousness was not a kind of works righteousness that was able to earn deserving to be saved from judgment. No one deserves that. What does it mean that he walked with God? We don't really know. I think there's clues in the early chapters of Genesis in some of the other positive things people did. So in chapter, Abel in chapter 4 made an offering to the Lord that was acceptable. So there's a kind of aspect of leaning towards God in worship. Then in chapter 4, Seth, they called on the name of the Lord at that time. Calling on the name of the Lord is probably part of walking with the Lord. Notice those are kind of humble acts. Those are acts of saying, you know, we need the Lord, you know, worshiping him, calling on him. So those are the kinds of things that so far in Genesis, walking with God has meant.
Thank you very much. Okay. Will you choose judgment or grace? But Noah didn't have a choice. God chose to give him favor. Aren't we just as much at the mercy of God choosing to give us grace by opening our eyes to believe? Is that a quote from something you said?
2 weeks ago, I said, will you choose judgment or grace? We saw only 2 destinies for humanity, judgment for most of humanity, grace for Noah. Which one will you choose? We do need God to open our eyes. We do need God to open our eyes to believe so that we'll receive grace in that way. But we also need to respond. So that's why I'm comfortable to stick with that language of will you choose judgment or grace? There's so much in the Bible that puts the onus on us to respond to God. So if you think that God's sovereignty means that human responsibility and agency mean nothing, well, read the Bible, read how often we're told to believe, to respond, to have faith. I mean, if what happens at our end wasn't relevant, we wouldn't need any of the books of the Bible because we wouldn't need to be told to do anything. We wouldn't need the authors to be purposing anything for us because, you know, it's all just, you know, we're robots or whatever. So, yeah, we need God's grace to be able to have eyes to see and to respond to grace. But we need to respond. That is the clear and constant testimony of Scripture.
Great. Okay, in what ways does Lamech mean Noah will bring relief? So that's from chapter 5, verse 29, when Noah doesn't really bring relief. Is it that he, i.e. Lamech, gets it wrong?
Yeah, Noah's name means relief or rest, which I think is a pun in that in today's passage. Notice the ark rested. So Lamech was Noah's dad. Was it just a kind of aspiration, a cry of Lamech's heart? We need to do better than this. Was it a kind of prophecy? Not entirely clear, and I want to leave that one hanging, I think, because we're not at the end of the Noah story yet. I think at the end of the Noah chapter, we can look back and say, was Lamech right or wrong?
Again, come back in 2 weeks' time. If sin continued after Noah, what was the point of the flood?
Yeah, well, I said a bit about that already in terms of holding fire on that one for a couple of weeks, but it certainly shows us very clearly how seriously God takes sin, doesn't it? And how seriously we should take his warnings when he promises judgment. That's one of the big ways the New Testament takes the flood story. And he's showing us the depth of human sin, that this wiping clean and starting again is not good enough. Come back for more on that in 2 weeks.
What about all the fish?
Yeah,
did they drown? What happened to them?
No, they're not. I think they must have had a great time. I don't know. They seem to have been going fine through the whole thing. So
they prospered and multiplied.
They don't need to be told to get fruitful and multiply again. They were already at it. Yeah.
Next one. That was quick. Thanks. Was Noah and his family the only people that deserved to be saved?
Well, they didn't deserve to be saved in the sense of they weren't righteous. We said earlier the righteousness Noah had was a righteousness that means he had faith in God, and then that God gave him righteousness. Noah, we'll see very evidently in a couple of weeks' time, didn't deserve to be saved. So it's all just very humbling when you think about that as a picture of our salvation. Nothing in us, nothing at our end means that we deserve it more than anyone else. We should constantly feel humbled that God would want to save us.
Great. Shall we go two more?
Is that right? Great.
Cool. Have we got two more? We're not very good at seeing sin rightly. What's been helpful for you, Kev, to see sin as the horrible, grievous thing it is?
Yeah, thank you. Well, maybe you know me quite well, because maybe you're saying you're not very good at seeing sin rightly. That would be a fair comment. I think I'm naturally kind of caught up in the kind of optimism of the world, and you know, naturally think too much of what we are like, because we love ourselves, basically, don't we? We think we could do quite well. We love this world, and we think we can do quite well in this world. So I've just really found it puncturing the bubble. So when I'm tempted again to get caught up in the worldview of, you know, look what we can achieve from our end. You know, do we really need to go on about the future and things like the new creation? Look what we can do from the bottom up. Well, this has all just been a big reminder to me. And sadly, if Charlene mentioned the BBC website, I mean, there's only so much of it you can take. Sometimes I find, particularly when you look at the natural disasters are horrible, but some of the things people do to one another, you know, gosh. And we've got a framework for understanding the depth of this and the story about the fact that this isn't the end of the story. So.
Thank you. And then last one. Is the olive tree that grew and allowed the dove to bring back a branch a sign of God's agency? It seems unnatural for a tree to grow that quickly, 7 days.
Well, maybe it already started growing without the branch or the, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing, the point of all of this was it just took a very long time. And we don't know what else was going on exactly on the ground that meant that it may not have been a case of nothing to olive tree within the 7 days. You'll have to ask the dove. I don't know if you'll ever meet that dove, but anyway.
Yeah. But the ask dove God from above. When
ask
you see
God. Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Oops. We should probably finish there.
Thanks, Kev. And thank you everyone for submitting questions and for voting them up and down. That's really, it's very engaging and fun to do that. So let's do that again one day.